seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. We light the Advent candles and the Christ candle, welcoming Emmanuel, God, with us. Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of a great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord.
Merry Christmas. Welcome to Brighton First United Methodist Church. We are so glad that you are here today to join us for our Christmas Eve service. At the end of service, on your way out, you're going to receive a snowflake Christmas ornament along with a flyer that describes our January sermon series, which will begin the second week of January. Also, when you walk outside the sanctuary into the community room on the right side, you're going to notice these boxes. And what's inside is Christmas cookies. We encourage you to grab a box or two, and they're not for yourself, but when you are traveling to see your friends and family members, if you see somebody who is working on Christmas Eve or on Christmas Day, you can hand them a box of cookies and say, courtesy of Brighton First United Methodist Church, we want to know that on this day that our thoughts are with you. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we thank you this evening. We are gathered here with friends and family members as we celebrate the birth of your Son. We ask that the joy that those early shepherds and Mary and Joseph and all the people that what they experienced thousands of years ago would be the same joy that we experience here today. We ask that the power of your Spirit would move within our hearts and our minds and that we might be one with you on this day. We pray all these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people.
He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David.
As he said through his holy prophets of long ago,
salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham.
To rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David.
He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger.
When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them.
But Mary treasured up on all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Good evening and Merry Christmas. Well, we've heard a story tonight. We heard the story from Luke, one that's familiar to us, verses 1 through 20 from the second chapter, about Jesus' birth. It's a birth narrative. It's one of the only two, because the other one's in Matthew, and then that's a pretty short one, but then talks about the wise men. But that's kind of where we get our whole idea of this Christmas story. It comes from there. And actually, you got to love the story. It's got everything. It's got action. It's got drama. It has lots of opportunities for special effects, angels, and kind of that subtle lighting in the stable, and the music playing and rising as the child's born. You know, and they got that glowy thing around his head. You know that story. But I'll tell you what, if I was going to take that story down to its essence, and someone has to take those 20 verses and just get down to just a few words, what I would do is I'd pick the verbs. I would pick the verbs because they're just great. First of all, we've got movement. Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem, and the angels appearing, and the shepherds hearing them. The shepherds going to Bethlehem with haste, where Mary has delivered the baby. And then once they see what was told to them, they leave Bethlehem praising and giving glory to God. It's a story of amazing movement. And what's really kind of neat to think about tonight is that story is about a gift. Now, I've been thinking about gifts this week. Yes, I did a little shopping. Maybe you did too. Finished my wrapping yesterday. And so I'm ready to give gifts. And yeah, I'm ready to receive gifts. I gave people lists, but it won't matter. I'll get odd stuff. I know my family. And you may have already exchanged some gifts along the way in these last couple of weeks. And you may be anticipating Christmas tonight or Christmas with family tomorrow or even in the coming weekend. But along the way, we're anticipating the gifts. Not only the gifts that we'll receive, but the gifts that we'll give. Things that we've made, things that we've wrapped very prettily that people will rip to shreds. And they won't appreciate the beauty. But we know those gifts are out there, and we're about to exchange them. Tonight, we're talking about a gift as well. And it's the gift of Jesus. It's not one that we normally think of as a gift. We just say this is this story of Jesus. But this is definitely a gift that comes from God. Jesus is a gift of light that illuminates the world. Jesus is a gift of freedom to set us free from our struggles in this life. Jesus is a gift of hope and a gift of peace. And it's one that is given to each of us and the very reason that we're here to celebrate tonight. Now, as I was thinking about gifts, I couldn't help but think about my parents and when we were children. Now, when I was a child, early December, the wish books would come. Do you remember those big catalogs? The JCPenney, the Sears catalog, we get the wish books. We'd go through and we'd mark what we wanted all through the book. And if we weren't too extravagant, chances are we'd get one or two of the things that we asked for on our Christmas list. But I knew that in the middle of the month, at some point, my parents would have to tell us their Christmas gift stories. So my father's, I have pretty much memorized, and I can tell you exactly what he said. He would begin something like this: "You kids don't know what it was like. You have it so easy." And then he would say, "There was one Christmas we were so poor that your uncle and I, the only thing we got was a sled. And we had to play with it in the summer, too." Every year. Now, my mother had a gift story, too. And along the way, we came to expect this story. And eventually, we simply asked her to tell it to us. So I come to tell you a gift story tonight that's from my mother and with her permission. She was born in 1937 in the Fayette Peninsula of the Upper Peninsula. It was toward the end of the Depression, and so things were very difficult there. And her father and her mother decided to seek employment in the Lower Peninsula, so they started moving from town to town. They got jobs with the Works Progress Administration and other help organizations that were founded during the Depression. They finally found themselves in Port Huron because my grandfather got a job with the railroad. And so when they got to Port Huron in the summer of 1943, they had no house. And so they got a lot in an outskirts, a suburb, well, actually kind of on the edge of Port Huron, and they camped in a tent, and they ordered a house from Montgomery Ward's. And when the house came, my grandfather put it together piece by piece. It was pretty simple. Had that pseudo brick, that insel brick stuff, if you've ever seen that. It didn't have a bathroom. They couldn't afford the plumbing, and so there was an outhouse. It did have, they did have running water, but only cold water, no water heater, and that's where they lived. Now, my mother was the firstborn, but there were other children to follow. And by 1948, my grandmother was pregnant for her sixth child. But in the years before that, my grandfather, along the way, had chosen not to work anymore. Now, of course, you can imagine the stories behind that, and I won't go into those details. But by the fall of 1948, my grandmother had made the decision to throw him out. She had been working at a factory, and she had been supplying the family's needs. But back in those days, in the 1940s, when a woman was pregnant, they weren't able to work full term at their job. And so she was let go from the factory that she was in. And my mother remembers those days. She said there was sometimes no food. They would go to the corner store and borrow, or if they would give them credit, get eggs or milk or bread. She remembers there would be days where all they would have for breakfast and for dinner would be oatmeal, because it was all that Grandma could afford. And then Christmas came. Now, Christmas was pretty bare. A neighbor took them out into the woods and helped them find a pine tree, and they brought the tree back and set it up somehow. And my mom remembers that they decorated it by stringing popcorn and by making ornaments from paper and tin foil. And then a couple weeks before Christmas, my grandmother piled them all onto a bus and took them downtown, and there they had, they went into a store where the old newsboys were giving away Christmas gifts. And so each of the children received two pairs of underwear, a pair of socks, and a pair of shoes. And as they walked home, my grandmother told them that this would be the only gift that they would receive. Well, there was some food. The Salvation Army supplied some canned goods, and the neighboring, just down the street, Nazarene Church dropped off a turkey so they would have a Christmas meal. But my mother, who was 11 years old, assumed that she was wearing the gift she would receive on her feet. But in the afternoon of Christmas Eve, 1948, the postal carrier came, and there was a letter and a check from a brother of my grandmother's who lived in California. She'd named one of the boys after him, and he sent the money in honor and remembrance of that boy. And so she had a check for $20. She found a neighbor who was running errands in the downtown area of Port Huron, and she got my mom, and they got a ride into town, and they went to Woolworth's. Have you ever been to Woolworth's? Yeah. The wooden floors, the smell of the roasting nuts. Yeah. Music playing. So on that Christmas Eve afternoon, they went shopping for Christmas gifts. And in that dime store, they found gifts for each of the children. And my mom helped pick them out. And just before they were about to leave, my grandmother turned to her and said, "Now, what would you like?" And my mom was so surprised. By that time, she was babysitting the kids. She was in charge. Let me tell you that in February of the next year, just 2 months from that, my grandmother would take my 11-year-old mother to the hospital. She would give birth to another child, and my mom would wait for the news with all those men who waited in the waiting room, and then walk home at 11 years old to watch the kids until my grandmother was released from the hospital. It was a very different time. My mom did not assume that she would get a gift. And so she would tell us about the gift that she got. She said she looked all over and she picked out a little dish set. It had 4 tin plates and 4 tin saucers and 4 tin little cups. And she would tell us each time she told the story that it was the best Christmas gift she ever got. I asked her again recently, I said, why that gift? Certainly you have gotten more expensive gifts, and you have gotten many gifts that were given in love. And she said the reason that gift was so memorable and so special is because she didn't expect anything at all. Tonight, we come with expectations. We expect the hymns. We expect the carols. We expect that we'll light candles and we'll sing. But I would suggest that there is something unexpected here for us as well. It is in the birth of this child. Jesus, who comes not as a warrior, not claiming power, but coming humbly to us in love and grace. The gift is Jesus, who comes to us and touches those who are bent over, those who cannot see, those who need healing. The gift is Jesus, the one who speaks a word, and people are made whole. Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus said to people, you are forgiven. Jesus said in John 14, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. It is my peace. Jesus is the one who said, follow me. There was a father who was waiting for the birth of his own son, Zechariah. His son would be John the Baptist. This is in the first chapter of Luke. And just as that child was born, and then as he was named, Zechariah began to sing a song, a prophecy. And this is what he said. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The light has broken upon the darkness. The dawn has come, and we have a way for peace. This is the good news. This is the good news. It's a gift in the darkness. It is a gift to the hopeless. It is a gift to those who are just getting on. It is a gift to us. Jesus is born. And this gift is one to anticipate and to open now. It's the best gift. Amen.
Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you so much this evening as we remember and recall the story of the birth of your Son. Jesus, you came in the middle of the night, in the dark night, to be the light for the world. You didn't come with trumpets blazing and being born in a kingdom. You weren't born with majesty and royalty, but you were born in a manger from humble beginnings. Lord Jesus, you are the ultimate symbol that God is with us. And not just those of highborn birth, but for all people. Lord, we pray that this Christmas season, that as we consider the gift of Jesus, that it would resonate within our hearts, and that we might be able to feel that sense of joy and hope that those people sensed thousands of years earlier. Lord, we lift up prayers for those of us, those around us, where the Christmas season is not an easy time. Lord, we ask that you would use us to be your hands and feet. Allow us to be the incarnation of your love, of your hope and peace. Would you use us so that we might be able to bring the gift of Jesus to those who are desperately in need today? We thank you so much, and we pray all of these things as we pray the prayer you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.